Hey, it's Seaver with another episode of my Rockstar Interviews podcast, and this time we've got Chicago guy Dennis DeYoung, one of the founding members of Styx. Dennis, welcome to The Drive. How's the family? I spoke with your wife, Suzanne, a moment ago. Is everything good? Everybody healthy?
She screamed, "Dennis, pick up the phone, for God's sake!" That's what she screamed at me. And, well, listen... yeah, everything is good. My goodness, looks like I'm gonna sell out the Rosemont Theater, and I'm, well, how old am I now? About 85 years old? I don't know.
Ah, yeah, no, 110 is what I understand. But yeah, you got a big show coming up.
I do. And if you'd have told me this was going to happen to me at my age of 72, I tell you, my sphincters would have been more relaxed when I was 25.
It is the 40th anniversary album of The Grand Illusion. And yes, it's the Rosemont Theater, which is coming up on May 4th, a Saturday night. And there are still some tickets available for that show, as I understand.
Not many.
I know.
Get them while they're going. But yeah, we're going to be doing, see what we're doing, essentially the Grand Illusion album, start to finish. For the first act of the show, where we don't, there's no talking, no nonsense, played as if you were listening to it in your basement or your bedroom when you were 17, and then we take a short break and we come back and we play all the other hits that were not on Grand Illusion, things like Lady, Best of Times, Too Much Time on My Hands, Renegade, Blue Collar Man, you name it, Mr.
Yeah.
Roboto, all the hits. And then we go out in the parking lot and we direct traffic.
Oh, great. That sounds fantastic. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, I got a
car getting out there. What is that, River Road?
Yeah, it's River Road. Right over there in the good old Rosemont. But I got to correct you. I was 15 when I picked up The Grand Illusion for the first time. And it's a true story. I bought the album and gave it to my friend for Christmas, and I opened up his gift, and it was the same thing. So we gave each other the Grand Illusion as gifts for Christmas in the, I believe it was 1977, and we love it. I love the Grand Illusion, and I love Pieces of Eight, and Styx is one of my favorite bands of all time. It's one of the reasons why I'm kind of thrilled to be talking. I'm very thrilled to be talking to you, Dennis DeYoung. But let's get whatever few tickets are left at this for this show on May 4th sold. Because it's a big deal for you. I mean, 40 years. My God.
Yeah, and I'd like your phone number and your friend's phone number so I can have my kids call you and thank you.
No problem, man.
Grand Illusion album. Put them through college and all that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm the luckiest guy on the planet. I've said this a million times. I lived at the greatest time in the history of mankind to be a musician. Never before, and I don't think ever after, will so many musicians have the opportunities I had and we had at that time. Music was the focal point of all young people's lives. There were no distractions like the internet or this, that, or the other thing, video games.
Yeah.
It was just music. And so I was lucky by birth, baby. I was there making music when kids, you know, thought it was the most important thing in their life. And I don't know how much luckier you get than that. And, you know, we strung together a bunch of songs that people apparently still like. So
yeah.
I feel really fortunate to be, you know, this age, because, like, I'm going to be going playing in New York and in Pennsylvania this weekend, and people are going to, if they get a chance to come up to me, they're going to thank me for coming to their cities.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with Mother Teresa handing out, you know, food to the poor.
Well,
it's amazing.
Let me ask you, since you're talking about interacting with the fans, what's the most unusual thing or gift you have received from a backstage meet and greet with fans? And do you still have any of those things?
Well, I keep some of this stuff. You know, if I kept it all, I'd have to, you know, I already have too many storage units, if you know what I say.
Yeah.
The storage units are the things, the places that you spend a lot of money to put things you'll never care about or have again. So I kept some things that are important, but most of the things, they go by the wayside. What is the craziest thing ever? You know, I guess, I don't know if there's anything really wacky. A lot of people give me portraits they've done of me. And I look at them sometimes and I think, do I look like that? But, you know, the people are trying hard. The fact that someone would sit down and try to put my puss on a piece of paper is, you know, that's pretty special in the first place. But people are so nice. They, you know, most people my age are, you know, people, you know, the relatives and friends are looking to kick them to the curb. But people come up to me and they tell me how much the music I was involved in creating meant in their lives, mm-hmm. and they mean it. And when I was doing it, let me tell you, Seaver, I had no clue. Kids, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just making up stuff as I went along. I mean, you know, people always attribute a great deal more than they need to people who are creative, people who make movies and write books. And, you know, we're just people looking for approval.
Right.
Really.
We're just...
We needed a hug from you, Seaver. If you'd have just not bought the Grand Illusion album and come to my house and hug me, it might have been worth something, too. I don't know.
Well,
but
you know...
That's what we do. It's like you on the radio, you know? You're out there. Hey, somebody out there, like me.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have a little bit of a need to be validated and loved, and it's true, it's a human condition. But you know, you wrote 8 of Styx's top 10 singles, so being creative as a player and being creative as a songwriter, those are two different things. Lots of people can play the piano, lots of people can play the guitar, but you wrote these songs. You have a gift for melody, Dennis DeYoung. I just got to say that right out.
Well, I always thought of myself as a melody man in a rhythm age, because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think back, if I go, "Lady, when you're with me, I'm smiling," that's the first one I wrote, and it just... I don't even know how I did it. When I look back and try to figure out, as a guy who's 25 years old, where that came from, I don't even know. I can't remember.
Right.
I do know that I wasn't a songwriter, and... We got a record deal, and suddenly from going from a cover band who simply had to imitate, right? The blueprint's there, baby. You don't have to create it from brick one. It's there. You just imitate it. That's easy. When you have to find your own original voice, that's when they separate the men from the boys.
That's
or
right.
The women from the girls.
That's right.
As it were these days. And like I said, I love melody because, you know, I'm a baby boomer, but I'm at like that first year of baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
So we were still tied to a lot of the music that came from the 40s and the 50s because that's when we grew up.
Right.
And, you know, I played accordion. That's what I started on at 7 years old. And if you don't think that's a handicap, I'll tell you right now it was.
But, well, they got the white keys, they got the black keys. I mean, it's sort of the same thing, right? I mean, come on.
Let me just tell you the difference. When you look at a keyboard on an accordion, it's vertical.
Well, yeah.
When you look at the keyboard on a piano, it's horizontal. It makes a difference. I remember when I first started playing the piano at my cousin Karen's house, I used to have to put my head, lay it sideways on the keys and look at the keys to know where they
were. From the sideways. I love that.
And, you know, there's buttons on the accordion, right?
Yeah.
And you can't see them.
The buttons on the other side, right.
You use your left hand to play.
All right.
It's only your 4 fingers, and you don't even get to see those keys.
Well, you're talking
about... So it's really a different experience. But when we first started writing music... When J.Y. first joined the band and J.C. was there, you know, I didn't know anything about writing music.
Mm-hmm.
And Hit Lady was like one of the first things I ever wrote. And I thought, well, that's good.
Well, let's talk about your childhood. You're a Southsider, of course. And
I have to lay down on the couch and give you $250 an hour? Or go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, here's the deal. I understand you grew up near or around the great Dick Butkus. Did you know him?
I had one really important encounter with Dick Butkus. I fancied myself an athlete when I was younger and really wanted, my first goal in life was to be to take Jim Landis's place on the White Sox, but that didn't work out. but I was down at Gately Field and we played baseball down there. And one day I was there. And we were just playing, you know, a little sandlot baseball, me and a couple guys. And there was this guy working out, and they had like one of those fountains behind him, one of those stone fountains. And I went there to get a drink, and who's standing behind me but Butkus?
Right.
He was, my God, he was like a doorway.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had the crew cut. I think he was at the University of Illinois at the time.
Sure.
He was a gigantic man. And my wife, who I met, went to grade school in Fernwood where Dick grew up.
Right.
And his house was like a block from where my wife went to grade school.
Okay.
So that's it for Butkus. Other than that, you know, a couple of sightings, but he was a very large man.
Yeah, well, you called him Butt Kiss and then ran like hell. I think that's the story I heard. Anyway.
No way. He wasn't Dick Butkus then. He was just becoming Dick Butkus.
Right.
He was at the U of I.
Right.
But I'll tell you this. I had a friend, Randy, who played This is great. He played football for Fanger. Now, Fanger at the time was Butkus's big rival, the giant rival.
Right.
Butkus played for CBS, and he was a middle linebacker. And my buddy, Randy, he played center for Fanger. And he said this one time, he always recalled the time that he hurt Dick Butkus. He says, I snapped the ball, and he came charging at me, and I fell to the ground not to get hurt, and he tripped on me and sprained his ankle.
Just diving away. Oh, here comes Dick. I got to get out of his way. That's funny. All right, so the Rosemont Theater.
You know, listen, yeah. Southside guy and the band, like, you know, the Panazza brothers, myself, we grew up on the same street. So that's how it started back in, believe it or not, 1962.
Ah, that's the year I was
born. We weren't a rock band. We were just going to play weddings and try to make our parents smile. And then February 9, 1964, my life was changed like so many musicians. When on the Ed Sullivan stage, you know, stood those four lads from Liverpool, and I said, hey, let's start playing rock and roll, and let's be the next Beatles. And that was the goal. And so that's how it really started. And coincidentally, I'm working on a brand new album right now. It's almost finished, and I'm going to do some overdubs right now downstairs on this track, which is it's an homage to Beatles in that night. And I'm thrilled. It really turned out cool.
Well, let me ask you, because I watched the video of Proof of Heaven with you and other Chicago guy, Jim Peterik, and I got to tell you, I really like that song.
Your sense in that video? Oh, the guy with the purple hair?
Yeah, the guy with the purple hair and the chick shirt. Yeah, that's him.
Who he is? I didn't know. I just walked on set, and there was this guy.
This is some guy.
Jimmy and I we've been working together almost a year and a half on this record. It's probably my last album. I really expect it to be my last one. And he's a great guy. And we've been that song "Proof of Heaven." Check it out, kids. It's on my Facebook page. It's on YouTube.
I shared it on my Facebook page, so definitely check it out. I like it. It's a really good song. It sort of reminds me of some of your vocals are soaring and your voice is in great shape.
Thanks. And there's the big, the big sticks like chorus. That
very
comes
much
in there, and it
yep.
has the this and the that, and the record I'm making right now is really, it's aimed at that Styx audience that was so happy between 75 and 83 to be part of the whole thing. And I went back to my roots, and I said, hey, these are the tricks. I'll pull all these tricks out of my hat. I'll write some great songs, and we'll apply it, liberally. And Proof of Heaven was a song that Jim and I came up with for my record. And then he had his World Stage album coming out, and he wanted me to sing on it. I said, why don't we take Proof of Heaven and put it on yours now, and then I'll put it on mine when it comes out. And so that's what we did.
Perfect.
And let me just say this. Jim Peterik is the reason I'm making a new album, because I've had a record company offered me a deal like 3 years ago to make one. I just didn't have the motivation, Seaver. Mm-hmm. At my age, I'm thinking all the work I had to do, and you know how much the music business has changed. Mm-hmm. Any old fart will tell you that. But Jim kept saying, man, you gotta make at least one more, because the world needs to hear your music. And I said, well, I want their names.
You want all three of them, right? I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Because they're a mystery to me. So I owe him a lot.
Yeah.
He's my neighbor, and he wrote "Eye of the Tiger." Did you know that?
Oh, I think so. I think he'll tell you that.
Today I was in the car.
Yeah, right. The house that the Sylvester Stallone built, I believe, is how he mentions it. That's how he describes the song. Yeah, the house that Sly built. That's the house he lives in now. That's Jim Peterik line. Anyway. Dennis DeYoung, it is a pleasure talking to you. I know you're going to sell this show out on May 4th at the Rosemont Theater, a theater that is near and dear to your heart. And I wish you all the luck in the world with your new album.
Thank you, my friend. Go to my Facebook page, kids. I write all that stuff. I read it all. And I just want to tell you, people at the Drive, you made a wonderful offered me to come down and do a little listener thing. I'm going to do it. I just couldn't do it this week because I'm swamped. So I want to come down there and, we'll do a thing where I'll sit down and I'll play some tunes on the piano and answer questions.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Unless Robert Mueller's asking them.
Yeah, okay. All right. Dennis DeYoung, thank you. And it's been great talking to you.
Thank you, my friend.
All right.